Welcome back, everybody. It's Jeff Krupp along with Amanda Smith here at the Union Hispana event here in the East Salem Community Center. It's a great turnout. And joining us is my old friend and colleague, was not old, but just we've known each other a long time, State Representative Kevin Mannix. Great to have you, friend, as always.
It's a pleasure to be
here. You know
what?
You don't age, I got to tell you. You know, and we served together a long time ago. 1999 was our first session together.
Yes.
It's been a few years, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Yeah, yeah.
And tumultuous years, ups and downs.
Indeed. Well, this is, I heard you speak in Spanish and in English. So where did you learn Spanish?
I lived in Ecuador, Panama, and Bolivia for 7 years.
Wow.
Because my dad was in the foreign service with the USAID program.
Okay.
Helping businesses develop their trade with the United States, helping them understand how they could export their products to the United States and develop their businesses in Latin America. So I was there. I came back when I was 13 years old, so I was explaining, you know, some of my Spanish isn't as sophisticated or as adult as I'd like it to be, but I feel pretty comfortable speaking in Spanish.
Well, and it flowed, so it sounded really good. And I obviously they appreciated it and responded. This is an amazing turnout, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I do think that, and these are people of passion and commitment and faith.
Yes.
I think it's, and they're listening to a variety of presentations, and I think it's a great movement for those of us who have conservative values to reach out to the Latino community and recognize that work and family and faith are so important to them.
Absolutely, and it's no different than, you know, the other communities that are in the area, you know, the Slavic and the Russian communities. You know, they want the same thing for their kids that Hispanic families do, you know, and so as you're, because I noticed you were here early talking with people. So what were you hearing from people as you were talking?
Well, they want to have a government that's responsive to what I call the basic needs of the community.
Okay.
Not into this highfalutin stuff, but that means, yes, let's deal with the drug addiction issue.
Right.
That recriminalization that we've gone through to undo the nasty problems we've had because of Measure 110.
Yep.
Also to help them have an opportunity for their kids to have a good education.
Right.
With good discipline in the schools. And I think those are issues that are important to them. And also, they want to work. And they want businesses to be able to prosper.
Right.
And they come from societies where, in terms of their background, the other countries, there's always this power elite that runs a lot of things. And they're concerned about helping the local businesses grow and produce jobs for their families, for their community. And they're willing to work hard to make a difference. So these are all great values for us to encourage.
You know, once they understand or they make the connection between those of us who are center right that share those same values, that they then look at the other side, which is doing some ugly stuff, okay, like the philosophy of Measure 110, okay, and Senate Bill 1583, which you worked hard to defeat, as those of us in the community did. You know, those are values that we share. So how events like this are really important. Like right now we're hearing the sheriff speak. You just spoke. And it's really important that community elected officials at all levels, because we got city councilors here, we got city council candidates here, we got state representative candidates, we've got the Marion County Commission, we got the sheriff here, we've got a mayoral candidate here, Julie Hoy. They need to know that people like you who are elected care enough to come here on a Saturday and talk with them, because you care about what they care about. And once you make that connection, in this community, they really, I think, share that.
We're about to have a prayer. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
I'm sorry to interrupt that. I thought we were standing to pray, but he was just doing a special presentation.
So you served a lot of years in the legislature. You left the legislature. You were involved in the community. Now you're back in the legislature. What I want to ask you this question, because I thought about this earlier. When you and I served together in the late 90s, early 2000, what's different today from back then with this community specifically?
What I think is different today is that, well, first of all, I think back in 1999, the legislature was not paying much attention to our immigrant community.
Right.
And sort of out of sight, out of mind. And then there's a transition where some advocates who say they want to support the immigration community are not being responsive to the needs of the community. They want to take over the community. I'm being a little pushy here.
No, I think you're right. I think that's accurate.
And the point was made earlier that government serves the people. It's not the people serving the government. And I think there was some attitude by some advocates who are still out there.
Yep.
Well, all these folks who are newly in the state in the last 20, 30 years, they should be enlisted in the service of government.
Right.
And they've got it backwards. So
they really do. Because from, as you pointed out, the cultures they come from, the countries they come from, when they immigrate to America, they don't trust government. Okay, so that's a healthy distrust. And we need to, we as, again, center-right people in the policy arena need to be reaching out to them more and more to bring that healthy distrust of government into our political camp so that it never stops.
And to show that we respect them
yes.
and their values.
Yes.
And we want to bring those values into government as we respond to issues. And to me, for instance, government trying to take over everything, trying
yes.
to over-regulate businesses,
yes.
over-tax everybody. No, it should be there to encourage and support the development of businesses and keep taxes limited
right.
and help people to maximize their own income so they can take care of themselves and not have to be turning to government
right.
to support them.
You know, and this is where part of Jonathan's vision for this event, as you noted, is this is faith, this is family, and it's freedom. So people of faith like us in our churches, and I've said this for a long time, whether you're Catholic like you are, evangelical like me, we as a church have not been involved politically, especially in reaching this community. And therefore, we've gotten the government that we've gotten. We've gotten the people elected because we're not reaching out to these people. And they're not engaged politically, helping us win and then protect their values.
And I think that transition is now occurring where
I think it is too.
We center-right yes. folks are the ones who are reaching out the most
yeah.
to the heart of the folks in the community.
Yeah.
And it's not so much saying, hey, we've got the dole here to give you
right.
stuff. It's,
right.
hey, we want to bring you in and help you succeed.
Yes.
So there is a difference.
There is. And that's that message we have to keep putting out there. Is there anything specific that you're looking at in the, you know, down the road? In the, you got to get reelected, obviously, but in the 2025 legislative session, is there anything specific that you think the legislature needs to address that is specific to the Latino Hispanic community?
We need to help public safety.
Mm.
And that means help our counties and our cities with
yeah.
law enforcement, making sure they have the capability to enforce the law. I try to tell some of my, shall I say, liberal friends that when someone steals your car and you're wealthy, you've got insurance, it's inconvenient. When you're less wealthy, you probably don't have insurance and you've lost your transportation. There are a variety of, I'll call them street-level crimes that so
mm-hmm.
affect
mm-hmm.
our communities, and law enforcement needs to be there to respond to the needs of those communities.
Yes.
And I'll give you one statistic as an example. I just found out yesterday. Salem has grown 40,000 population since the year 2000.
Mm.
We have the same number of police officers now than we had in 2000. And how can we ask? And yes, we need to have good officers. And
sure.
We need to be well-trained and respect our constitutional rights. But they also have to be there. And they need to be
right.
supported so that they can protect our communities. So I do think, if I'm looking at 2025, one of the things I really want to be working on is to make sure that the state is helping our local communities do their job with law enforcement. And that then slides over to Measure 110.
Has right,
been,
it does.
We've reformed
yes.
it. All right, we're making it illegal to possess drugs.
Right.
But what do we do about making sure law enforcement can intervene, but then making sure we have treatment programs. And locally, we need to provide treatment, not to enable this harm reduction business.
Yes.
We're just enabling.
Right.
And we need to say, well, we might keep you safe while you come in, but you need to be moving into a real treatment program. And most people that are addicted at the start are not going to acknowledge that they need treatment until we press them into it. And that's what the changes we just did with House Bill 4002 will get us on track. And we're going to have to work hard to make sure we don't falter.
You know, and Representative Deal has talked a lot about that. He voted no for it because he doesn't think it will work broadly. It'll work in some places.
Oh, he has a good objection.
Sure.
And I agree with
and
the objection.
It didn't
get me to a no, but the objection is the funding mechanism that's been set up is still biased in favor of the enabling rather than the treating. And now, I'm a believer that we'll change that mechanism, that it was critical to get on the path of saying possessing street drugs is a crime. And we got that. It's an unclassified misdemeanor. There's the potential for jail time.
Right.
And we have that tool available. Now, he is right about the financial packaging. I didn't think that it was it's not the way it ought to be done, but I thought we're on the path towards doing more. And that's the next step.
You know, one piece at a time with this thing. It's not going to be easy to unwind it. But, you know, in fact, I was talking with Colm Willis and Danielle Bethel a little bit earlier here about, you know, Marion County's maybe a little better positioned because they had programs, a diversion program prior to this, okay? And so they're a little better positioned to put this into play now. And that's why I think it works better there than I think it's going to work in Portland. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Attitude is important. Our county commissioners and our sheriff have the right attitude.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens this year with the elections in Portland. But we have set the stage for them to do a better job. And we still have more things to do setting that stage. And Representative Deal is right about the financing mechanism. We need to continue to change that so that we're dealing with locally based treatment centers. And accountability locally, and not these enabling programs.
Agreed. Representative Kevin Mannix, thank you for joining us as always. Friend, it's good to see you, the man who never ages.
It's good to see you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right,
thank
friends.
Thank you.